St. Red, My Aim is True by Jordan D. White. Episode 12, Waiting for the End of the World.
Everyone leapt to their feet in shock as the gray smoke spewed forth from the canister. Charles had a bit of egg dangling from his chin. Joshua clenched the butter knife he had used to butter the stack of toast. The sound of breaking glass from elsewhere in the warehouse and a pounding on the front door rocked them into motion.
To the van! Quickly!
Red grabbed Allison, still disguised as Kimmy, by the hand, and ran off in the direction of the van, cupping his sleeve over his mouth and trying to keep his head low to the ground. As they entered the living room area of the warehouse, the doorway from the living quarters burst open and the DINR troops burst into the room, wearing SWAT armor and gas masks.
Stay where you are!
The lead man's weapon was trained on Simon. His six subordinates covered the others.
Down on the ground!
Shoot!
Allison Kimmy exclaimed unpleasantly, kneeling down. Red looked at her oddly. He looked around at the others. Charles, William, and Simon reluctantly got down on their knees and lay down, face down, on the floor. Red and Allison joined them.
You too, Father.
No!
Joshua leapt in front of Father Patrick. He held up the butter knife.
You think you can take me with that little guy?
Joshua spun the knife between his fingers, gang style, and eventually stopped it, with the tip of it the blade pointed into his own neck. Father Patrick grabbed it and held it in his fist, the tip jabbed gently into the soft skin of his angel's neck.
Keep back, or his throat's gonna start spurting!
Patrick coughed a bit due to the ever-thickening smoke. He and Joshua backed away towards the garage area.
Red, if you can get out of this, my son and I will be waiting for you.
Shoot!
Allison said again. Red looked at her. She glared back. As soon as the door swung behind Patrick, both the troops and Red made their move. DINR's flunkies raced forward to reopen the door and keep tabs on Patrick and Joshua. Red, still lying on the floor, flipped onto his back while pulling his gun back into existence. He fired on instinct, 10 times, barely even aiming. The troops seemed quite surprised when their guns flew apart in their hands, and even more shocked to see the plastic shields of their gas masks bursting in their faces. In the 10 shots, all 7 guns and masks were out of commission.
Took you long enough to get it.
Come on, close your eyes! Red jumped to his feet and led her back deeper into the warehouse. His eyes clenched as tightly as he could manage. Behind them, he could hear Charles, William, and the guards fighting as they all fell over each other trying to get back out the front entrance. A bit further away, he heard the van crashing through the garage door, its tires squealing as it turned out into the street.
Where are we going, Red?
I figured they're all waiting out front. We find another way. Every few feet or so, he opened his eyes for a split second to get his bearings. Even that minute exposure was making his eyes sting immensely. Both he and Allison were coughing, and he could actually feel spit pouring out of his mouth, rolling down his chin. Fortunately, the last time he opened his eyes, he made out the blurry outline of what he was looking for. Crouch down here!
Where are we?
The door near the bathroom.
Isn't that door locked?
So? Red pulled the barrel of his gun up against the lock. I've got the key. He pulled the trigger. The sound of the lock shattering didn't come as a surprise to him. The massive explosion from beyond did catch him off guard. He pulled the door open. He could smell the bitter cold of the fresh winter air, along with odd currents of heat from whatever exploded. He opened his eyes as he stumbled through the door, dizzy and nauseated. He blinked his eyes as the water filling them leaked out the corner of his lids. The bright image that swam before him was an afternoon sunlight-colored blur with a fire-red center dancing directly in front of him. He imagined his eyes matched his name about now. He heard Allison vomit. He fell to the ground, his hand hitting the pavement, jerked back his finger, pulling the trigger of his gun. All of a sudden, water sprayed in Red's face, the pressure taking him aback for a moment until he noticed how much better it felt to flush out his general nose-eye-mouth area. He took off his glasses and attempted to rinse out his mouth, still acting as a saliva fountain. Kimmy, here. He crawled to his side, and the two of them soaked themselves with the spraying water until the stinging lessened a bit. Red blinked and looked around as best he could. They were rinsing themselves in a jet of water spraying out of a bullet-shaped hole in a fire hydrant. To their right was the street, blocked by a number of vehicles. 2 of the cars and a van, all sitting more or less in a straight line from the door whose lock he shot out, were in flames. Lucky shot. The look on Hayden's face gave away the fact that he was unamused. The guns his brigade of troops were pointing at him weren't laughing either, though Red didn't mind if they kept quiet for this foreseeable future. Argento stood off to Hayden's left and slightly behind him. Red noticed that the suits Hayden and Argento wore were both a bit scuffed, especially around the knees. He only wished he could have seen them all scrambling for cover when the bullet had gone through the gas tanks, blowing the three cars.
Congratulations, Mr. Kane. Not only have you managed to help a man intent on causing Armageddon escape, you've blown up three of our vehicles. What, for kicks? Not to mention driving through not one, but two of our walls back at the camp compound. You could have just used the lot, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have even validated my parking after the old brain drain, too, right?
Red, I know you still only have the memories of a beginner, but still, I can't help but be disappointed in you. Why would I tell you what I did if I were going to rechristen you? Why go to the trouble? We wanted you to go back to Patrick. We followed you. We've been planning, organizing, and then you blow our whole operation in a matter of minutes.
Screw your operation! Hayden walked up to him and crouched down to his level.
Tell me, Red, what does old Father Patrick have planned?
I have no idea.
A lie. Let me refresh your memory. Our prophets have been telling us that the world will end in neither fire nor ice, but a hideous plague that will cause bleeding pustules to break out over bodies of mankind, causing a painful, oozing mass suffering until the disease finally makes it deep enough into the innards to make holes in the internal organs, leading to the death of our entire race in 2 weeks?
Hayden turned and looked for confirmation from Argento. Allison elbowed Red and mouthed, "See?"
Closer to one, actually.
1 week, then. Since you've just helped him along with that idea, I thought you might be willing to give us some clue as to, where we could find him and what his plans are.
Not a chance in hell.
Don't tell me the little speech I gave you did its job that well. Did I actually turn you so far against us that you're actually trying to help bring about the apocalypse? Did one little girlfriend mean that much to you?
Fiancé, remember? Hayden stood upright and walked back to stand with the others.
Let's face it, Red. You don't have much choice. We've got you surrounded with no chance of escape. You're going to do exactly what I tell you because that's what we sainted you for. And if that's not a good enough reason, there's always the fact that we're the only ones who can tell you the truth about your past. In fact, on that note, Argento, let's bring out our little surprise.
Argento seemed to deflate a bit at that. The troops parted a bit as he walked back to one of the non-exploded cars filling the street. He opened the car door. A woman around Red's age got out. She had short blonde hair that was pulled back into a ponytail. She was wearing a pair of blue jeans, a pink sweater, and glasses. As she approached, her eyes met Red and seemed to light up a bit.
Red, is that you?
He stared blankly at her. Her eyes began to water up a bit.
Is it true what they told me, Red? You really don't remember me at all?
He shook his head.
I know that's not a reflection on what happened between us. They told me to expect it. I just couldn't bring myself to believe that you could forget.
She bit her lip and began wringing her hands nervously.
I've missed you. I've missed you a lot. I just wanted you to know that...
Excuse me, miss. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was actually having a conversation with Mr. Hayden here. I mean, I don't want to downplay what you're saying there. It was awful emotional. It's just that, I don't care. The blonde blinked for a few seconds. Hayden, you actually seem to have it completely backwards. I have all the choices in the world. It's you who have none. I know where Patrick is. You don't. Now, neither of us wants the world to end, so I suggest you let us go, and I'll do what I can to stop it. Hayden was flabbergasted.
You can't be serious. You expect us to just let you waltz out of here and go about your business?
Yes.
Why?
Because I might not throw the world away over one girl, but there's more than that at stake here. I tell you what you want to know, you continue to use me, play games with my head, brainwash me, God knows what else. If my only options are death or slavery, I have nothing to lose. You, on the other hand, have a whole world hanging in the balance. This whole show here with this young lady was all nice and good, but frankly, I like what I have going for myself now, thank you, so I'll be the one who gives the options. Your choices are, let me go save the world, or ready yourself for a few pustules. Hayden's smirk was noticeably smaller, almost non-existent. Argento almost looked like he wanted to laugh. Or cheer. Red held out his hand to Alice and Kimmy, helping her to her feet. The blonde turned and ran.
Isn't she a bit young for you?
Yes, yes, I must be a goddamn sicko. Are you going to give us the car or what? The two men stood staring at each other for a moment. Eventually, Hayden nodded. He gestured to one of the troopers.
Actually, sir, I was driving the car that exploded.
Well, then someone!
Another trooper took out a pair of keys and tossed them to Red.
What if you can't stop him?
Toss me your signal watch. I need you. I'll call. Hayden took off his watch and tossed that, too, to Red. Which car is it? The trooper gestured, and soon Red and Allison were climbing into a black sedan. Do me a favor? Lie down. Yeah, all of you, actually. If you could all just lie down, I'd feel a lot more comfortable. Thanks. He stood waiting as each and every DINR trooper, Hayden and Argento, reluctantly lay down on the ground, and then, in one fluid motion, hopped the rest of the way into the car, started it, and sped off.
I can't believe you just did that. Did you see the look on his face? Whoa! In his face, that fat bastard. You completely kicked him in the ass.
I'm glad you're excited, but there's still an apocalypse to deal with, you know.
Where are we headed? Where's Patrick?
I have no idea. I was bluffing. Do me a favor. Pick up that map over there.
Sure.
She got the map and unfolded it. It was a map of the city.
What are you going to do?
Get lucky again, I hope. He fired his gun in Allison's general direction. She screamed, causing him to almost go off the road. Whoa, geez, relax. I can't hurt you, remember?
What the hell did you do that for?
Check the map, see where the bullet hole is. Tell me what's there. I figured all my shots so far today have been pretty dead on. I must be doing something right. Allison examined the map again.
Let me see. Oh, of course, I get it. My son.
Where is it? They walked up to Rockefeller Center about an hour and a half later. They had parked the car in Brooklyn and taken the train, just in case there was a tracking device in the car. Father Patrick, Joshua, and the van were nowhere to be found.
Do you think maybe this wasn't where they were going to meet us?
No, you were right. It made perfect sense. The whole thing with Patrick calling Joshua his son. They'll be here. We'll just wait. And wait they did. A few hours of ice skating, coffee, and street vendor hot dogs later, just as it was getting dark, they finally saw the van drive up and drive around the block a few times until it found a space to pull over into, the hazard lights flashing. Red and Allison made their way up to it as quickly as they could. They pulled open the side door of the van and hopped in. Father Patrick was driving, and Joshua was in the passenger seat.
We're glad you could make it. We had our doubts. How did you manage to get free?
I'm a saint. They couldn't hold me.
Attaboy. You show those holier-than-thou bastards who's who at the right hand.
Red pushed the box full of loose 20s to one side, up against the frog launcher, making room for himself and Kimmy to sit. So, where are we headed? Where's the big deed going to go down?
Right here. I had so much fun coming here in skating, I decided to make it ground zero for the beginning of the rapture. I'm sorry we kept you waiting so long. I couldn't bring the van too early, you realize. Security in the city has been crazy. They won't let any suspicious-looking vehicles stay in front of any landmarks for long without causing any trouble.
So what's the plan?
We wait.
For what?
For him. Open the door.
Red popped open the side door of the van, and his eyes met those of a gangly young man in a black trench coat.
Red, Kimmy, Joshua, I'd like you to meet Lenny Braun. Lenny, this is Red, Kimmy, and my little Joshua.
Underneath his black trench, Lenny wore black jeans and a black Megadeth t-shirt, neither of which he seemed to fill out. His eyes were sunken, a dark shadow seemingly surrounding them. He had a 5 o'clock shadow, and he had the ugly-looking habit of keeping his bottom lip tucked under his front teeth when he closed his mouth. His hair was long and black and about as greasy as any Red had ever seen. He was carrying a ratty-looking black backpack with numerous heavy metal patches sewn onto it. He closed the van door behind him.
Hey, do you have the money?
Right there in the box.
Patrick climbed from the driver's seat into the rear of the van. I don't understand.
Here's the, the thing, the disease.
Lenny reached into the ratty backpack and pulled out a metallic canister, cylindrical in shape, about a foot long and 6 inches in diameter. He tossed it to Patrick.
Lenny here's a virologist. Well, virologist second, anarchist first. Lost his job recently for unauthorized and illegal experimentation. He needed someone to fund his work. I needed a holy plague. It was a natural fit. So, does it do what I ask?
The virus has been designed to, target a genetic trait that a trait shared by firstborn males of a thing. Can I see the money?
Of course you can. Red?
The box was right next to Red. He knelt next to it and opened the flaps that had been folded together over the top.
$5 million in 20s. I hope you don't mind. They're just sort of thrown in there.
As long as I can spend them. And they're real money.
Of course they are. How about the vaccine?
Right here.
His hand reached into the pack again, this time coming out with a crinkled paper bag. He unrolled it and reached within it. He dropped the bag on the floor. In his hand was a vial of bluish liquid and a handful of needles.
Do you wish me to,
Yes, please. My little boy and I both are firstborn. You, Red?
I think so.
Do this.
He was in the process of loading the needle. Patrick was rolling up Joshua's sleeve. Kimmy's eyelids fluttered. She leaned over to whisper in Red's ear.
Red, it doesn't work.
The vaccine?
Well, that too, but I mean the virus. It's going to kill everyone, not just the firstborn, not just males, everyone. I saw it.
Now, no secrets among friends, you two.
A needle was sunken into Father Patrick's arm.
What's going on back there,
Sorry about that. I was just thinking of something cool.
Well, what's that?
This, Red said. He grabbed a hold of the intake tube of the frog launcher and whipped it into the box of money, rolled over backward and kicked as hard as he could, opening the rear doors of the van. Father Patrick had enough time to yell,
"No!"
before Red pressed the large green button on the machine. The engine rumbled to life and 20s began to be sucked up the tube. The device was designed to launch frogs all the way over a church, and as such had more than enough power to launch $20 bills quite a far distance.
What the hell?
He grabbed at the canister in Patrick's hands.
Joshua, drive!
Joshua jumped into the driver's seat and started the car as the priest struggled to keep his hold on his custom plague. The car launched forward. Red grabbed a hold of the launcher in order to keep from falling out of the back of the van. Behind them, people were shouting and cheering as they reached for the sky, snatching 20s out of the air. The windfall spread as they drove. Patrick kicked Lenny in the crotch and then smacked him in the face with the canister. He landed on Red's back and rolled off and out of the van, onto the moving pavement. Patrick was huffing.
Red, that was not a part of the plan!
Joshua hung a hard right. Red tumbled over onto his right side and then flopped forward into Father Patrick's legs, sending the priest tumbling headfirst into the box of money. Patrick flailed about, screaming until he found the off switch and stopped the device. Patrick turned to face Red. Red couldn't help but laugh. Kimmy joined him, nervously.
What are you laughing at?
The device had sucked a big purple hickey onto his cheek and neck. Traffic seemed rather light leaving the city, as opposed to the hordes driving in. Kimmy pulled shut the rear doors of the van as Joshua drove them towards the toll before the George Washington Bridge. Red pulled his sword and stood hunched between Patrick at the back and Joshua up front. Kimmy stood at Red's side, holding his shoulder.
You've been laughing at me the whole time, haven't you? Haven't you? From the moment you stepped into my confessional, you've mocked me and mocked my beliefs. Do you not even see that I am the son of the God? The world needs to be united under someone. I saved these children's life. I performed miracles. I am the leader of a people, someone they can stand behind, believe in. And what do? You humiliate me in front of my flock, making them all abandon me. You kill one of my angels. You ruin my dramatic speeches. You turn another of my angels against me. You probably let Dee and I right to my door, and now you're messing with my plans for the end of the world! Is there no end to your disrespect?
None in sight right now, you sick, delusional bastard. Oh, and I didn't turn Kimmy against you. She just got replaced. Allison whipped off her mask, her features once again becoming her own.
Surprise!
Oh, that is very funny! Very funny indeed! Unfortunately, mockery is not going to stop me! You can't risk using your sword on me! You might hit the canister, and I'm assuming that's what you're trying to stop now, isn't it? Same with your gun.
If you release that virus, everyone will die.
Well, I'm sure I can trust you on that! After all, you've never lied to me! I'm sure you wouldn't say something like that just to stop me from doing it!
Red spun around and swung his sword in a wide arc, cleaving the front of the van from the back half that he, Allison, and Patrick occupied. The two separate pieces of the van spun out of control. Patrick, Red, and Allison were thrown out of the vehicle onto the outbound lanes of the George Washington Bridge. The canister scuttled, clinking and clanking, off to the center of the highway. The three of them scampered to the shoulder to avoid getting run over. Joshua was not so lucky. The front of the van spun out to the right, the front end hitting the rail and flipping across the walkway, over the edge of the bridge and into the Hudson below.
Joshua! No!
Red and Allison were both speechless. Patrick jumped the guardrail to the walkway where the front of the van had flipped off. He looked down into the water for a moment and then leapt over the side, screaming.
No!
Jesus Christ! They heard a splash. He and Allison ran to the side and looked over the edge. It was evening now, too dark to see anything.
Do you think they're alive?
I doubt it.
What should we do?
Red hit the signal button on the watch Hayden had given him. He took the watch off and dropped it off the ledge of the bridge. Let's get out of here. The back half of the van was causing traffic to slow quite a bit. They stopped the traffic for a second, grabbed the canister, took the box with the rest of the money from the van, and offered the nearest driver $20,000 to get them out of there as quickly as possible. End of episode.